News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. With Afghanistan facing a grave humanitarian crisis, India on Monday said it will stand by Afghans just as it did in the past. Noting that Afghanistan is passing through a critical and challenging phase, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar also said the international community must come forward to help it. In a virtual address at the UN high-level meeting on the humanitarian situation in Afghanistan, the minister said that India has consistently supported a central role of the global body in the future of the war-torn country. India's own approach to Afghanistan has always been guided by our historical friendship with its people, and this will continue to be the case, he added. A multilateral platform is always more effective than small groups of countries in building global consensus, he said. There has been a sea change in its political, economic, social and security situation and consequently its humanitarian needs, the minister said. Jaishankar further said that the issue of travel and safe passage that can emerge as an obstacle to humanitarian assistance be immediately sorted out. Those who want to travel into and out of Afghanistan should be granted such facilities without obstructions, he added. As an immediate neighbor, India is monitoring developments with understandable concerns, he said. He said the international community must come together to create the best possible enabling environment to assist the country. Veteran Congress leader and former Union Minister Oscar Fernandez, an MP, died at a private hospital in Mangaluru on Monday afternoon. He was 80 and is survived by his wife and two children. Prime Minister Narendra Modi expressed anguish over the death of the veteran Congress leader, saddened by the death of Rajya Sabha MP Shri Oscar Fernandez ji. In this sad hour, my thoughts and prayers are with his family and well-wishers. May his soul rest in peace, the Prime Minister said. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi, while offering his condolences to the family and friends of Fernandez, said his death was a personal loss for him. It is a personal loss for me. He was a guide and mentor to many of us in the Congress party. He will be missed and fondly remembered for his contributions, he said in a tweet. Fernandez was hospitalized in July after suffering a fall at his house while doing his regular exercise. As he was found to have an internal injury, a surgery was carried out by doctors. A close confidant of the Gandhi family, Fernandez had always remained a disciplined party man throughout his political life. In his five-decade-long political career, Fernandez represented Udupi constituency in the Lok Sabha 5 times and was elected to the Rajya Sabha 4 times. He was first elected to the Lok Sabha in 1980, followed by wins from the same constituency in 1984, 1989, 1991 and 1996. He has been a Rajya Sabha member for 4 terms since 1998. He had served as Union Minister for Labour and Employment from 2006 to 2009 and had held different portfolios, including NRI Affairs, Statistics and Programme Implementation in the UPA 2 government led by Manmohan Singh. Fernandez was also the chairman of the Central Election Authority of the All India Congress Committee and AICC General Secretary in 1996. He was president of the Karnataka Pradesh Congress Committee in the late 80s. He also served as Parliament Secretary to Rajiv Gandhi. He was born on March 27, 1941 to Roque Fernandez and Leonisa Fernandez. He had his education at St. Cecily's Convent School, Board High School and in MGM College, Udupi. Fernandez began his political career by getting elected to Udupi Municipality in 1972. Karnataka Chief Minister Basavaraja Bommai and former Prime Minister H.D. Devegowda expressed grief over the passing away of Fernandez. Expressing grief, Bommai said, "May his soul rest in peace. I pray that the Almighty gives his family the strength to bear the loss." Former Prime Minister and JDS leader Devegowda said he was deeply pained on hearing about the death. Senior BJP leader and former Chief Minister B.S. Yedurappa said Fernandez has left his mark on national politics. "He was a simple and gentleman politician," said the former Chief Minister. Senior Congress leader and former Chief Minister Siddaramaiah in a tweet said, "Shocked by the demise of senior Congress leader and former Minister Oscar Fernandez, my condolences to his family members and may his soul rest in peace." Stating that he was saddened to hear about the death, State Congress Chief D.K. Shivakumar said. Serving the country and the party in various roles, Sri Fernandez will always be warmly remembered for his untiring dedication and vision. The state Congress held a condolence meeting at the party office. Condolences poured in from Kerala as well. Governor Arif Muhammad Khan, Chief Minister Pinaray Vijayan and senior Congress leaders spoke on the death of Fernandez. The governor tweeted, "His dedication to service of the people will be long remembered. My heartfelt condolences. May his soul rest in peace." The Chief Minister, extending his condolences to the family members of Fernandez, said, "He, that is Fernandez, was one of the national leaders who always maintained close ties with the southern state." Kerala Pradesh Congress Committee President and Member of Parliament K. Sudhakaran said Fernandez was one of the rare leaders who was accessible to everyone and earned a place in people's hearts. He said there was no replacement for Fernandez and his memories would always inspire the party. Leader of Opposition in the Kerala State Assembly V. D. Satheesan said the death of Fernandez was a great loss to the Congress as he was present at all crucial junctures of the party's politics. Senior Congress leader Ramesh Chennithala also extended his condolence to the bereaved family. Chennithala said that when he visited Fernandez in hospital, the latter was optimistic that he would make a quick recovery. However, Oscar G. said goodbye. "I extend my condolences to his family and friends. My tribute to Oscar G.," he said. First-term MLA Bhupendra Patel was on Monday sworn in as Gujarat Chief Minister, 2 days after Vijay Rupani's surprise exit from the post, a year ahead of the assembly polls. Patel, 59, unanimously elected BJP Legislature Party leader on Sunday, was sworn in as the state's 17th Chief Minister by Governor Acharya Devvrat at a simple ceremony in Gandhinagar. Union Home Minister Amit Shah and Chief Ministers of some BJP-ruled states were among those present at the Raj Bhavan ceremony. As decided by the party, only Patel took oath. The Council of Ministers will take oath during the next few days after their names are finalized, BJP sources said. The governor had on Sunday invited Patel to take oath as Chief Minister. The new leader of BJP's legislature party, Bhupendra Bhai Patel, presented a proposal to form the government under his leadership. Accepting the proposal, he was invited to take oath as CM on September 13 at 2:20 p.m., Devvrat tweeted. At Sunday's legislature party meeting, the proposal to elect Patel, the legislative party leader, was moved by Vijay Rupani, whose resignation as CM on Saturday, 15 months ahead of the assembly polls, surprised many political observers. Rupani, the fourth chief minister to demit office in BJP-ruled states during the pandemic, was sworn in as chief minister in his second stint as CM in December 2017 and completed 5 years in office on August 7 this year. With state assembly polls scheduled in December 2022, the BJP is banking on Patel, a partidar, for victory. In the 2017 assembly elections, the BJP won 99 of the 182 seats and the Congress got 77. Former CM Rupani said he will continue to work for the party. "I do not care what the opposition has to say. This sort of a smooth transition of power is possible only within the BJP. I will continue to work for the party," Rupani said. PM Modi congratulated Bhupendra Patel and said that he will certainly enrich Gujarat's growth trajectory. "Congratulations to Bhupendra Bhai on taking oath as CM of Gujarat. I have known him for years and have seen his exemplary work, be it in the BJP organization or in civic administration and community service. He will certainly enrich Gujarat's growth trajectory," PM Modi said in a tweet. The Patidars are a dominant caste in Gujarat with a sizable control over the electoral votes and dominate the political economy with a stronghold over education, realty and cooperative sectors. Patel's elevation, he is the first from the Patidar subgroup to be chief minister, is key to BJP's plans to woo the Karwa Patidar community, which some political observers feel has drifted away from the party. Climate change could push more than 200 million people to leave their homes in the next 3 decades and create migration hotspots unless urgent action is taken to reduce global emissions and bridge the development gap, a World Bank report has found. The second part of the Groundswell report published on Monday examined how the impacts of slow-onset climate change, such as water scarcity, decreasing crop productivity, and rising sea levels could lead to millions of what it describes as climate migrants by 2050 under 3 different scenarios with varying degrees of climate action and development. Under the most pessimistic scenario, with a high level of emissions and unequal development, The report forecasts up to 216 million people moving within their own countries across the six regions analyzed. Those regions are Latin America, North Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, South Asia, and East Asia and the Pacific. In the most climate-friendly scenario, with a low level of emissions and inclusive sustainable development, the world could still see 44 million people being forced to leave their homes. The findings reaffirm the potency of climate to induce migration within countries, said Vivian Weichen Clement, a senior climate change specialist at the World Bank and one of the report's authors. The report didn't look at the short-term impacts of climate change, such as the effects of extreme weather events, and did not look at climate migration across borders. In the worst-case scenario, Sub-Saharan Africa, the most vulnerable region due to desertification, fragile coastlines, and the population's dependence on agriculture, would see the most migrants, with up to 86 million people moving within national borders. North Africa, however, is predicted to have the largest proportion of climate migrants, with 19 million people moving, equivalent to roughly 9% of its population, due mainly to increased water scarcity in northeastern Tunisia, northwestern Algeria, western and southern Morocco, and the central Atlas foothills, the report said. In South Asia, Bangladesh is particularly affected by flooding and crop failures, accounting for almost half of the predicted climate migrants, with 19.9 million people, including an increasing number of women, moving by 2050 under the pessimistic scenario. This is our humanitarian reality right now, and we are concerned this is going to be even worse, where vulnerability is more acute, said Professor Martin van Alst, director of the International Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center, who wasn't involved with the report. Many scientists say the world is no longer on track to the worst-case scenario for emissions. But even under a more moderate scenario, van Alst said many impacts are now occurring faster than previously expected, including the extremes we are already experiencing, as well as potential implications for migration and displacement. While climate change's influence on migration is not new, it is often part of a combination of factors pushing people to move and acts as a threat multiplier. People affected by conflicts and inequality are also more vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, as they have limited means to adapt. Globally, we know that 3 out of 4 people that move stay within countries, said Dr. Kanta Kumari Rigor, a lead environmental specialist at the World Bank and co-author of the report. The report also warns that migration hotspots could appear within the next decade and intensify by 2050. Planning is needed both in the areas where people will move to and in the areas they leave to help those who remain. Among the actions recommended were achieving net zero emissions by mid-century to have a chance at limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius and investing in development that is green, resilient and inclusive in line with the Paris Agreement. Clement and Rigaud warned that the worst-case scenario is still plausible if collective action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and invest in development isn't taken soon, especially in the next decade. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.